Hi, everyone. I'm Stephanie, a mom to a Mito fighter. On our podcast, Energy in Action, we talk all things Mito, and I'm glad you're here to learn and to be part of our community. I'd like to welcome everyone back to this week's episode of Energy in Action. I'm your host, Stephanie, and here on Energy in Action, we talk all things Mito and rare disease, and I am very excited for you to hear our next guest. But before we get started, I want to remind everyone that we understand that you're listening to us while doing all sorts of activities throughout your day. So don't worry about having a notebook and a paper or a pen handy, because we'll have all of the topics that we talked about and links and addresses and information in our show notes. And you can definitely head over to mitoaction.org to find more information about today's guests. So let's get to it. I am so excited to announce a new partnership today. Mito Action and Give Kids the World have joined together to provide an amazing experience for all of our kids in the Mito community, ages 0 to 18. And on today's episode, I have Amy from Give Kids the World. Hi, Amy. Thanks for joining us today on Energy in Action. I'm really excited to know more about Give Kids the World.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us. We're so excited to partner with Mito Action and helping to make wishes come true for the Wish Kids that you work with. We're really excited about the partnership. So thank you.
Oh, no, thank you for selecting us to be part of your program. Can you give us a history of Give Kids the World? I know there's a lot of people out there who aren't really sure how that correlates with the Orlando experience. So if you could just give us that background, that would be really helpful.
Sure, I'd be happy to. So the Village was actually founded in 1986. Give Kids the World was founded by Henry Landworth. Henry has an incredible story himself. He actually is a Holocaust survivor. So he and his family were in the concentration camps, including Auschwitz. He and his twin sister were there from the ages of 13 to 18. Unfortunately, his parents did not survive that, but he and his twin sister Margot did, although separately, they found each other later in Europe. Then they actually made their way here to the States on a freight ship. Henry had $20 in his pocket, didn't speak any English. When they got here, he ended up being drafted to serve in the U.S. Armed Forces, although he did serve stateside. Once he finished his service, he went to college on the GI Bill, and it was then that he decided to study hospitality. And in some ways, we feel like that's where our story starts. Had Henry chosen to study something different, who knows, but we're so thankful that he did choose hospitality, and he worked his way up in the hotel industry. In the 50s, he came down to Florida and he operated the Starlight Motel, which is over in Cocoa on the east coast of Florida, where Kennedy Space Center is. So, of course, the astronaut program was also beginning at that time, you know, sending the astronauts up into space. And so Henry's hotel, the Starlight Motel, became the place where the astronauts and the media stayed. So he became friends with those guys, John Glenn, Walter Cronkite. They were all personal friends of Henry's. And then he heard about this little place called Walt Disney World over here on this side of town and thought he would come over here and find out what was happening here. And that's when he owned and operated the first Holiday Inn outside of Disney property, just a few miles from where our location sits today. It was then that he learned about wish families that were coming into the area for their wish trip. So, of course, in the 80s, at the time, Disney was huge here, and many times the wish was to meet Mickey. And so Henry would hear of these families coming into the area, and he would offer for them to stay at his hotel for free. There was a little girl who unfortunately didn't make it down in time for her wish. Her name was Amy. And at that point, Henry could have done one of two things. He could have said, oh, that's too bad. I'm so sorry. We'll help the next family. But he didn't. He started asking questions and trying to understand why. Why in the world could we not get this child down here in time for her wish? And he was learning that it was just taking too long to schedule the trips. There's too much logistics. And so he went to his friends at Walt Disney World and other hotels in the area and asked for them to partner with him in order to make this happen so that he could then process these wishes and move the experience along quicker so the families could ensure that they had that wish trip. He also happened to meet the executive director of Make-A-Wish at the time. And of course, Make-A-Wish was founded in 1980. This again was in 1986. So Henry happened to meet the executive director of Make-A-Wish and he asked them, he said, you know, I want to help. What is it that you need? And they said, well, we need a place for them to come. And in Henry's words, he said, it was exactly what I was hoping I could do. So he had a resource, he had those accommodations, and he had the relationships with the theme parks here to get those theme park tickets. So in 1986, in a little janitor's closet of his hotel, he put a desk and a phone in there, hired a young lady named Tammy, who still works for us today, and said, when you answer the phone, you answer as Give Kids the World and don't tell anybody no. So he made sure that every family who was eligible for a wish had that opportunity. And really, that was one of his commitments, that we'll never say no to a family whose child is eligible. So in 1989, he realized shortly, so 3 years after he started there at his hotel, he realized that he just wasn't going to be able to keep up at the hotel with the number of families, unfortunately, that were applying for this experience. So he opened Give Kids the World Village right here on the same site that I'm talking to you from today, with 8 villas and a front desk. He opened the gates of the village. We now have 166 villas, 89 acres. And in our 35-year history, we've hosted over 176,000 families from all 50 states and 76 countries around the world. So what started as a very small dream of his and vision to help wish families has grown, of course, over the years. And we're honored to be a part of continuing his mission and his legacy.
Oh, my gosh. I had absolutely no idea the roots of this program. I had chills the whole time you were speaking about that, on how somebody who came from such a tragic background just literally found a way to give kids the world. I mean, wow, what a great story. So you have served over, you said 100,000 families?
Over 176,000, actually. Quote unquote, normal year, pre-COVID, we would serve close to 8,200 families in a year.
Wow. So give me a day in the life of what a family could expect when they come to Give Kids the World. I know you've talked how you have that partnership with Make-A-Wish. Do all the kids come through the Make-A-Wish program?
Oh, no. Certainly we have other wish granting partners as well. So Make-A-Wish would have been the organization that Henry really identified and started with in the beginning. And simply because, you know, I think in the early 80s, they also were getting started too. So it was just, it just was serendipitous. It was who he met. But we have over 220 wish granting partners around the world. And so we partner with all kinds of organizations, not just Make-A-Wish. So exactly like you all as well, Mito Action. So we partner with folks like Dream Factory and the Rainbow Connection, Dreams Come True of Jacksonville. The list goes on and on. So the way that the process works is our wish granting partners would identify the wish families. So therefore determining that the child has a life-threatening or critical illness. And of course, there's documentation required from their doctor stating that, and that their wish involves Central Florida. So there's thousands of wishes every year, and about half of them actually involve Central Florida in some way, by way of meeting a character or going to a theme park, or maybe their wish is to come to Give Kids the World. And of course, we love those. That's really special for us. So about half of every wish family comes here to Central Florida. And so once the wish granting organization identifies the wish and determines that they're going to be coming here to Central Florida, then they work with us to set up the accommodation here at the village. So we have a website where our wish granting partners go on and make that reservation, very similar to what you would do if you're making a reservation at a hotel. And it just so happens that not only are we providing an accommodation, we have 2-bedroom, 2-bathroom villas for our families to stay. And I mentioned we have 166 villas. Not only that, we have our own food and beverage. So we serve breakfast, lunch, and dinner. We have ice cream. We serve ice cream from 7:30 in the morning to 9:30 at night. We have 2 pools here. We have a spa. We have entertainment programs. So there's parties every night of the week. And we also have a gift fairy here. It's a very magical little village. So the gift fairy comes to the family's villa every day and brings gifts for the family as a little surprise. So it's not just a hotel, not just a nice place for them to stay. It's encompassing a whole week's worth of activities. And you asked kind of what the families could expect. And every day is a little bit different here. And truly, it's up to the family. So whatever is most important to them, or whatever they want to do on that vacation or that wish, that's what we want to make sure may happen for them. So when they arrive here to the village, we do a brief little check-in with them. We have trained volunteers that'll escort them to their villa, make sure that they're comfortable there, and provide the theme park tickets for them. Our theme park partners are so generous and provide right now 3 days to Disney, 2 days to Universal, 1 day to SeaWorld. And then we have other parks and attractions that offer 1-day admission as well, including Legoland, Gatorland, Kennedy Space Center, Aquatica. The list goes on and on. I tell people I live here and I don't want to do in 6 months' time what we're offering them to do in 6 days. There's just so much. But that's where our guest experience team comes in. And we're talking to the families before they ever arrive here, just trying to understand what's most important to their wish child, what their family wants to do while they're here, so that we can use our expertise of the area to really help them plan their stay. and to understand it's not possible to do it all. So we want to make sure that we're helping them to accomplish what's really important to them while they're here. Most of the families would have breakfast in Cafe Clayton and the Gingerbread House and then head out to the theme parks during the day. And it's up to them which park they go to, which day. It's not assigned. They can choose whichever park they'd like to visit. And then when they're ready, they can come back here to the village. And that evening, of course, we have dinner and then we have a party. So every Monday night is Halloween at the village. We have a trick-or-treat trail and costumes. So the kids could bring costumes from home, or we do have some here available for them as well. And then Tuesday night, we are launching a new program called Stellar's Star Search, and it's going to be a talent show. So pre-COVID, we had Village Idol, which was a talent show and is really one of everyone's favorite nights of the week. So the kids could showcase their talents by telling jokes or singing songs or even participating as a judge. And then on Wednesday, we do Mayor Clayton's surprise birthday party. Mayor Clayton is a 6-foot-tall bunny rabbit. He's my boss, and he's the mayor of the village. And every Wednesday we celebrate his birthday, and it is a surprise. So if you are here at the village and you do see him, just don't tell him about his party. Of course, you can wish him a happy birthday, but we manage to surprise him every week. And then on Thursdays, we do Winter Wonderland. Santa comes to see everybody. He brings gifts for all the kids. It snows on the avenue. Friday night is our Once Upon a Village party. That's where the kids could transform into any kind of storybook character that they'd like. Pirates, princesses, knights, mermaids. And then Saturday, we're also launching a new show. It's a science spectacular. So we have a kind of a mad scientist, silly scientist who will do all kinds of interactive kind of experiments and activities to help the kids learning in science. And then on Sundays, we do our Big Splash Bash. So there's something every night of the week. And we also try to cram 1 year's worth of activities or celebrations into 1 week. Understanding that many times these families are separated. You know, the wish child may be in the hospital, mom or dad is with them while the rest of the family is home. And so we want to make sure that they can celebrate all of those milestones. That's why we do Halloween, Christmas, and birthdays every week. And it's really important to us too that the entire family is involved and the family is kind of brought together as a family unit. So we do a couple of things that are specific to the wish child. But really everything, we try to involve the entire family and all the siblings.
Wow, I cannot wait to come down there with one of our families. I don't even think I would want to go to the park. Everything sounds wonderful right there in the village. I had no idea you did Christmas every Thursday.
Yeah.
That just sounds fabulous.
I know. I think wow. This is Santa's, you know, vacation home. He's here once a week, all the way from the North Pole.
Well, you know, if you could go somewhere, why not Florida from the North Pole, right?
Wow. Yeah. And, you know, to your point, many families will say that, you know, we don't even have to leave the village. There's so much for us to do here. In addition to everything that I just mentioned, we also have 2 pools, a splash pad. We have 4 attractions on site. So we have a carousel. We have a train and 2 other attractions, which are all wheelchair accessible. In fact, everything here at the village is wheelchair accessible, and we won't add something unless we know we can make it accessible because we want everyone to have the opportunity. So, yeah, I mean, there's just so much to do. And often I think the families get a little overwhelmed at the parks. You know, there's so much there too. And it's a lot sensory wise. And so many times the kids are asking just to come back to the village and, you know, hang out or watch a movie, go to the pool because it's quiet here. It's relaxing. And there's other families like them that are here. And that's another thing that our families mention a lot is that when they're here, they feel normal. You know, no one's asking them, when's the next treatment? You know, how's Tommy? It's really about them and their wish and experience here. So they just feel like a normal family for a week, which is such a great gift that we're able to give them.
That is an incredible piece of insight because it's so hard to be represented in the community, right? You know, we talk about the importance of representation for people to see themselves in the media and to see themselves in the community. But sometimes as families with special needs, and especially kids who are medically fragile, sometimes you just want to be, I always say, with your own tribe. Mm-hmm. You know, that's part of my tagline on my signature is to find your tribe. And when we can get like-minded families together, the healing that happens from just being able to give that knowing glance to another parent is priceless. I'm speechless. I'm so excited about this partnership. So one question I have, how are you guys managing COVID? What's the protocol?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of a moving target, right? As it is for everyone. But we are constantly monitoring the CDC and their guidance. And I think even from there, being a little more conservative, perhaps, than we have to be or what's required by the CDC, because we understand that the families coming to us, many of those kids have compromised immune systems, and certainly we don't want to be a risk to them at all. So we are, of course, you know, wearing masks. Whether indoors, everyone is wearing masks. Outdoors, there's different guidelines based on if you're vaccinated or unvaccinated. We recently announced that by October 15th, our staff and volunteers will all need to be vaccinated. So in Florida, we can require proof of that for our staff, but unfortunately, we can't require that proof from our volunteers, but we're making it clear that that is requirement for our volunteers. Also, we did modify our food and beverage. So we used to serve off of buffet line, but we're now serving family style. So when the families come into Cafe Clayton, they're seated by a volunteer, and a volunteer will then take their order and then bring the food to them at the table family style. So that's another way that we've been able to adjust our operation a little bit. You know, we do have a portion on our website on gktw.org/families is a really useful site. And on there is a link off to our safety protocols, because as I said at the beginning, it's a moving target. So what I'm telling you today could change next week. But our protocols are always updated there. And, you know, here at the Village, even before COVID, safety is always our number one priority. So that's something really ingrained in our staff and just part of our culture. So obviously wanting to always ensure that our staff, our volunteers, and our families are safe. It's our number one priority.
Excellent. Do you have medical staff on site in case something were to happen?
We actually don't have medical staff here, and that's by design. We don't want the families to feel anything like a hospital or, you know, doctor office setting. But we do have three children's hospitals very close to us. We have great partnerships with all of them. They know us well and they know our families. And so anytime a family comes to one of those local children's hospitals, you know, we're right in touch with them and they're happy to assist quickly and make sure that the family has the care that they need. Also, our local EMT is very familiar with us as well. And should they need to call 911 for emergency services, they are here very fast. And they're very thoughtful about it, too. As soon as they turn down the road where the Village is, they turn their sirens off because they don't want to alarm the other Wish family. So it's all very well thought out. And I want to make sure, of course, that the family that needs help is getting that care, but that the other families aren't alarmed or scared, because obviously that could be kind of triggering for some folks.
Again, you guys have just thought of everything.
I hear that all the time, and we try to. We really do try to. We don't want the families to have to worry about a thing while they're here. They have plenty to worry about when they're back home, and we don't want that here. So when they're here, you'll see they're so happy. They're smiling. They're, you know, running on the avenue, playing, and just enjoying time together as a family, and that's really what we want.
Now, is there any way families can be connected to each other after they leave the Village? So obviously they can choose themselves to be pen pals or, you know, stay connected with each other. But is there like a reunion type, or is there a closed Facebook group or something that helps keep families connected through Give Kids the World? Or is that pretty much on their own when they're done?
It's funny that you asked that. Right now, we don't really have an organized way that we keep them connected. Just like you said, many of them connect with the family while they're here, and they'll exchange contact information and stay in touch once they return home. For our 30th anniversary, which was a little over 5 years ago, we hosted family reunions throughout the country, something we had never done before. And it was so popular and it was so fun for us, you know, to see families that we hadn't seen in a long time and for them to reconnect. So we're actually looking to do that again starting in 2022. And it may be something that we do on a regular basis because that connection to the families, and I think allowing them to kind of relive their Village experience, but at home, is so important for them too, because they make so many wonderful memories here. And part of our tagline here is where happiness inspires hope. So while they're here, that happiness is giving them the hope that they need to kind of keep going. But once they return home, as you know, it's kind of back to normal life. And sometimes you just need that happiness and hope just reinfused in you. And by bringing the Village to them, we think is a really great way to do that and just help them relive some of those experiences. So we are looking to do that and make a little more organized, concerted effort to help our families connect in the next several months.
Wow, I like that idea to bring it to them again to kind of re-spark that joy that they felt Once families are in the Give Kids the World organization, can they come back at any time, or is this just a one-time situation?
We do consider the WISH a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. So if there's a family with a second or third or additional WISH child, certainly if that child wishes to come back to Central Florida, then we'll be more than happy to accommodate the family. Otherwise, they are welcome to visit the village up to 2 times per calendar year as an alumni family or welcome back family. They're able to come visit for the day, so they can't stay here again because we work exclusively with WISH granting partners. So there's no way to stay at Give Kids the World aside from coming on your WISH through a WISH granting organization. But if they want to visit for the day, they can make a reservation for that with our team, and then they can enjoy all of our parties, our venues. So hang out at the pool, go to, you know, Winter Wonderland, see Santa, have ice cream, of course. And then often they want to go back to the Castle of Miracles. So I should tell you about that spot because it's a really special place here at the village. Every WISH child gets a little gold star when they arrive, and they can bring their gold star into the Castle of Miracles, and they write their name on their star or draw a picture, whatever they'd like to do to represent themselves. And then they give their star to Stellar the Star Fairy. And that night she hangs their star in the galaxies of the castle. They'll then get a star passport telling them where in the castle the star is hanging, so they can always come back and visit the star. So as you can imagine, it becomes really important to the families. And when they do come back to visit for the day, they always want 2 things first. They want to go see their star, and then they want to go get ice cream. After that, whatever else happens, I think, to them is bonus. But stars and ice cream, super important around here.
Wow. Oh, I love that. I didn't know about the Castle of Miracles.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful spot. And just a really nice way for the WISH child to leave a small piece of themselves here at Give Kids the World.
Oh, absolutely. And I, for one, love the whole ice cream concept. My son is a Make-A-Wish kid, and we were on a cruise with him, and because he wanted to be a pirate. And so we had like a pirate excursion all through the Caribbean. But that ice cream at pretty much any doorway was amazing. Just to stop and get a small soft serve cone and keep on going, that was truly his highlight. It was like, let's just go get ice cream.
That's so funny. Everyone loves ice cream, right? And we serve it starting at 7:30 in the morning. So very much like a cruise, it's always available.
Wow. Yeah. I'm down with that program right there. Huh. Excellent. Is it in cones or dishes or both?
Oh, you know what? You can have it however you want. We've got cones, cups, banana splits, shakes, whatever you want. And I should mention, it's all served by volunteers. So I did mention our volunteers as it relates to COVID, but it's important to understand, and the way that the village operates is primarily run by volunteers. So when we're operating normally, so pre-COVID, we'd have about 1,800 volunteer shifts per week. Right now, because our operation is a little limited due to the number of families on the property, we just have about 150 a week or so. Still, it's a large operation, but our volunteers far outnumber the staff. So we literally could not do what we do without our volunteers. They do everything from checking our families in to serving ice cream, like I said, helping run our entertainment programs, serving at our pool. So they're everywhere. And when you're here, the majority of people that you see working and that you'll run into are volunteers. It's really remarkable. And that was from the very beginning. I mean, as part of what Henry started from the beginning, there was a small group of volunteers in the very beginning who felt that every single family should be greeted at the airport when they arrived in Orlando, greeted by Give Kids the World. So they started volunteering to greet the families at the airport. And then from there, the program just grew and grew and grew. And of course, we still greet them at the airport when they arrive. So we're continuing that even now.
Wow. Now, are you ever able to help get the characters on property, or do you just make sure the kids see the characters at their designated property? Like, how does that work if that's part of their WISH?
Pre-COVID, we did have characters visit weekly, twice a week from Disney, once a week from Universal. And we're really hoping that that's going to come back soon. So, of course, the theme parks still have guidelines on social distancing as it relates to their characters. And so, unfortunately, we don't have them here now. But I do hope that that comes back in the next couple of months. We're really, really hopeful, crossing our fingers for that. As it relates to if their one true WISH is to meet a certain character, generally, we can help set that up. We would work with the WISH granting organization. They would reach out to my team and say, you know, Cindy's one true WISH is to meet Minnie Mouse, and we would work with our partners at Disney to set up that experience for her in the theme park. Because of COVID, we're not able to do any special requests like that right now, but hopefully in the next several months, that'll open up back again.
Man, you guys really just think of every possible scenario. Have you ever been stumped? Have you ever just been like, oh man, we didn't think of that? Because I can't even think of a scenario that you guys haven't already tackled.
It's so funny. I actually, when our new staff comes on board, we, of course, have a wonderful orientation program for them where we share our core values and our operating principles. And I was actually presenting those for our new staff last week. And so therefore telling several stories. And so many of the stories I told were exactly that, like finding a way for whatever the kid was asking for or wanted. And I mean, I can tell you a couple of stories now just to demonstrate that, because our team, I think, feels so empowered to make sure that the families have everything that they need. No is not a word that we use here. So we find a way to say yes. So for example, several years ago, I heard a little boy ask one of our chefs if he could have sushi for dinner. And I was just overhearing the conversation. So I thought, oh man, how's this going to go? Because I know we don't serve sushi here. And so I thought, oh gosh, what is she going to say? And without skipping a beat, she said, well, you can't have it tonight, but you can have it tomorrow night. And tomorrow, the next day, she picked up sushi on her way in, and that little boy got to have sushi for dinner. One time, I was on a call with several wish granting organizations at one time, and I had some of our team in the room. We were doing a little training for them, completely unrelated to the call, but the wish granting organization spoke up at the end, and she's like, hey, Amy, I have a question for you. We have a little girl. She wants to have a makeover done by G.I. Joe. Can you guys do that? And I just turned around to our team. They were sitting behind me. And I said, hey, you guys want to do that? And our engineering director at the time said, yeah, we'll do it. And so I told her, I was like, yeah, Erica, we'll do it. I'll catch up with you later. We'll figure it out. So, you know, we can't do G.I. Joe because he's a licensed character. So we can't, you know, we can't recreate that here. But what we did, we had a guy named Chris who was working in our support services, which is our warehouse team. And he used to be in the Army. So he agreed to be G.I. Jackson for the day, and he got trained in our spa, and he came in with his fatigues. He even had dog tags made for her. Her name was Natalie. She was like 5 or 6, and her dad was in the Coast Guard, so she just had this like fascination with, you know, G.I. Joe. So G.I. Jackson met her in our spa that day. He did a makeover for her, the whole, you know, fingernails, all of it. And when he thought he was finished, she was like, oh, I want to have my face painted too. And he's like, okay. So she looks in the book and naturally chooses like the most difficult, you know, face painting option that we had. But G.I. Jackson managed to make it happen. Of course, she looked beautiful. And, you know, just it was a small piece of her wish and what she wanted. But I think for our team too, just what a cool and unique opportunity for the guy who normally is, you know, moving boxes and medical equipment. That day, he got to help make Natalie's wish come true.
Oh, he did.
And so two simple examples, but that's just who we are. I mean, we find a way to make stuff happen and we do not say no.
Wow. Oh my gosh, I love that. Wow, way to go, Jackson. What a great story.
I know, it was so cool. And you know, too, just to kind of piggyback on that, sometimes it's simple for kids, right? Like Natalie was just like, I want to have a makeover by a guy who looks like G.I. Joe. And that's simple enough. We can make that happen. But I think oftentimes the wish is much bigger for kids than maybe what they're communicating. And I love it when our wish granting partners really try to get to the bottom of why they're asking for a certain wish experience. For example, we had a kid named Micah, and he was from Illinois. When he came to the village, he was 17, tall, strapping, African-American young man. And he told his wish grant organization that his wish was to go to Disney. And like I told you at the beginning, I mean, half of kids, that's their wish. So it would be really easy to stop there and just say, okay, great, we can do that for you. But they didn't. They asked questions. They wanted to understand why. And he explained that he felt invisible amongst his classmates. And if you saw Micah's photo, you would say, how in the world is that even possible? But that's how he felt deep down inside. And he felt like coming to Disney would make him important and would make him feel like a king for the day. And so that was truly the heart of his wish, was to be recognized and important and feel like a king for the day. So the wish granting organization reached out to us and, you know, they said, I know he's going to have a great time at Disney and he's going to feel, you know, important and recognized, but is there something that Gift Kids the World can do to really make him feel special? And naturally, you know, no, we said yes. So our entertainment team worked with our partners at Medieval Times, which they're just about a mile down the road. And they brought in their characters one night at our Pirates and Princesses party, so our Friday night party. They rolled out a red carpet in our castle. They had a whole script and a whole program for Micah, and they crowned him that night King Micah in our castle. He also helped host our party as King Micah. So he's right alongside our volunteers hosting the party for all the families. I have his photo in my office, and you can tell on his face, like something happened for him in that experience. His mom wrote back after the wish and said that she felt like just that experience alone gave him the confidence that he needed to go back to school amongst his classmates. So that's why I believe that the wish is oftentimes a lot bigger than just, and the theme parks are great, so don't hear me wrong. But I think it's bigger than just going to a theme park or just meeting a character. I think there's something more for these kids. And in many cases, it's really impacting to their life and to the lives of their families.
I love that somebody was intuitive enough to hear beyond what he was saying and picked up on that, because really, what a great experience that you guys just had all of the external connections to make it come together to just empower him like that and to really give him what he needed. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's a beautiful story. It just so impactful. But like I said, that's who we are, is what the Village does. And you guys know that too, because, you know, as a wish granting organization and an organization that works with families that have so many challenges, you know, if you can just bring a little glimmer of hope to them, and I know that's what you all are doing every day, it's so impactful, you know, so we're just so happy to be a part of doing something like that.
It is. It's wonderful to give people part of that distraction, but also, like you stated earlier, to just give people that opportunity to refill their hope bucket, because so many times we're just hit with devastating news day after day, and it's hard to get that bucket full again with hope and perseverance. And so to come to places like Give Kids the World to get that replenished is priceless. So I'm so excited for our partnership. And I know Kyra was saying that our applications are live up on our website, and we will be sending our first families in 2022. So we are really excited to get that going and work with not just the families, but the people who will be nominating the families and helping them get there. I think we're going to find more perseverance and more stories in our community than we even knew existed. So all of us are just on pins and needles waiting to go. So
it sounds like it. Yeah. And we're thrilled, like I said, to host your families. So we can't wait for 2022 and welcoming your first family here, and then hopefully many more after that. We want to serve as many of them as we can.
Well, thank you. And thank you so much, Amy, for your time today. And again, like I told all of our listeners, they can go to, is it givekidstheworld.org?
Givekidstheworld.org or gktw.org. Either way.
Great. We will have all of the information up there, and I strongly encourage everyone to go check out the website. It is absolute visual candy.
Yeah, it's beautiful, and it's childlike. So we embrace childlike wonder here. And, you know, once you all experience it in person, then you'll really see. It's one thing to talk about it and even look at our website, but once you start walking down the avenue and you experience it for yourself, it'll all make sense.
Yeah, it almost looks like you just go into a life-size version of Candyland.
Yes, well, we have a life-size version of Candyland here. We have the world's largest Candyland board here, which also happens to be a playground, but we actually play Candyland with the kids out there. So they're the moving pieces of the game. Hasbro is a longtime partner of ours, and they created a Give Kids the World version of Candyland. So it features our venues, our characters. It also features kids in wheelchairs, which is super cool. No other board game does that. So all of our families receive that as a gift from the Gift Fairy while they're here during the week. And it's available too on our website for purchase. But Hasbro is a wonderful partner. So you're right. It looks like a large Candyland board because it is.
Oh, that's excellent. Well, again, thank you, Amy, so much for your time today. And I just look forward to continuing our partnership with you guys.
Thank you so much. And thanks for all that you all do to support the families that you work with.
You bet. Thanks. Thank you, everyone, for tuning into this week's episode of Energy in Action. It's exciting to be a Wish partner with Give Kids the World. You can find out more information about this program and the Wish Trip nomination form on our website, mitoaction.org. Remember to give us a 5-star rating on your listening app. This helps to boost us up the charts, and it makes it easier for other people to find us. And remember, you can find all of the information we referenced here in the show, either in the show notes or over at mitoaction.org. Thanks for listening. This is Stephanie, Rare Mom Extraordinaire. See you next week.